curious to know how many of us in this room have already practiced some kind of mindfulness before coming here. I mean, before this event, in some setting. Okay, so it might be quite a few of us. And how many mindfulness in the Plum Village tradition, the style of Thich Nhat Hanh? Okay, about half, a little bit more than half. Okay. I think in some of the announcements about this event, you know, we were speaking about Thay's contribution to bringing mindfulness to the West, and I hope that many of us have had a chance to read our teacher's wonderful book called The Miracle of Mindfulness. The book was first published in the late 1970s, and its initial title was The Miracle of Being Awake. At that time, the word that we now translate as mindfulness was being translated in many different ways by many different teachers. It's a hard word to translate. So it's the word sati in Pali. And in Chinese, it's a character that has kind of two parts to it. And some of you may know that our teacher always likes to explain it in terms of the Chinese character. And the upper part means present moment, and the lower part means mind. So that's why it can be translated as bringing the mind into the present moment. And I think there were a lot of different experiments with this language, and then our teacher decided that he would prefer the word mindfulness. So he and a number of other teachers at that time started to use the word mindfulness. Sometimes we can also say it means to remember. So to remember means like the opposite of forgetting, the opposite of being carried away. We suddenly wake up to what's going on, either in our body or around us. So for example, in this, well, we've had a few body exercises, the relaxation at the beginning, following the breathing, and then some movement. So we may have woken up to some tension in our body, possibly tension in our shoulders, tension in our face. We may have woken up to the fact that although we feel refreshed after the after the festival and maybe a very joyful August, we may also be a little bit tired. So mindfulness is something about coming back, waking up. In many spiritual traditions, we have similar words. Like we could also maybe use the word recollection. Like we recollect ourselves back to our senses. A bit like that experiment we used to do in schools with iron filings and a magnet. And you put the magnet underneath the iron filings and they all line up. I sometimes think of mindfulness or my mindful breathing having that same effect on my whole body and being. So we suddenly realign ourselves. And this phrase, coming back to our senses, so long as we are with our senses, like what we can see, what we can smell, what we can hear, what we feel with our body, then we know we're in the present moment. And some people say, well, why do I need to be in the present moment? We may hear that a lot, but it's a good question to ask. Our teacher likes to say that life is only available in the present moment, which is simple and true. So this is a phrase from the Buddha. He says the Buddha used to teach that the future has not yet come, the past has already gone. We only have this moment. So if we would like to live our life deeply and fully, we want to live it in this moment. But what normally takes us away from this moment is all of our thinking. So it's our thinking mind that takes us away from the other kinds of information we have coming in all the time, through our eyes, through our ears, through our body, with the people around us and in front of us. It's our thinking, for example, we're worried about something that's going to happen later tonight or tomorrow, or a project we have to do at the moment. Or we might be regretting something. We might be still heavy and burdened by something from the past. But in this moment, actually none of those things are going on. We can touch a certain freedom in the simplicity of this moment. And so by coming back to our body, into our breathing, that's like the first way to begin to do that. So maybe we can have a moment to arrive with the sound of the bell and see if we can free ourselves from our thinking by making our breath as fascinating as we can. We can make it. Try and experience your breathing from the inside of your body. Not your mind coming round and saying, "Oh, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out." But try and go inside your body to feel the whole mechanism of your breath as it breathes in and out. We are actively generating the energy of mindfulness. Our teacher likes to describe mindfulness as a kind of energy. And the more we can be with our breathing or with our steps or with our senses in the present moment, the more of this energy we have. And mindfulness is a wonderful energy to have around. It is mindfulness that can help us embrace difficult moments. It's mindfulness that can help us listen to ourselves. When we really come inside ourselves, we might discover that there's perhaps something we haven't heard. And it helps us listen to other people, the ones we love. I think the more that we are able to be with ourselves, the more space we have inside, and the more space we have to be able to offer our loved ones. So in our meditation, when we speak about cultivating space inside, we all have that space, and we just need to connect to it, access it. We can even visualize that we have all our cells, and every atom is full of space. It's a, you know, like a scientific truth. We have a lot of space inside, and it's when we have this capacity to stop, whether it is to stop our thinking or to take a brief pause and just come back to our breathing. That is a way to create space inside. Sometimes when we're carried away by our daily life, we may not have many moments to stop, to even have a sense that we have any kind of space. And it's really wonderful to be able to find ways that we can have a moment of stopping and coming back to our breathing in our daily life. Our teacher always encourages us, for example, to put a bell on our computer that might sound every 15 minutes or every half an hour. And we kind of say, "I don't have enough time to stop." But probably we have a minute and a half. And if we can spend a minute and a half from time to time just letting go of everything and coming back to our breathing, it's a wonderful way to generate this energy of space inside for ourselves and for other people around us. We also have a lot of other jokes. Sometimes we say when we hear the sound of a phone, we can also stop and take a moment to breathe. If the phone call is important, the person will keep ringing. We can have at least three sounds, three rings. Or if it's a traffic light, we can also stop and take that as a moment for ourselves. Sometimes our teacher has described this energy of mindfulness as something quite, I want to say quite miraculous, just like the title of the book. Mindfulness is not just a method, it's not just a tool. We can speak of mindfulness as being a path that connects us to the deepest reality, the deepest dimension of life. We're in a church now, and I'm sure many of us in this room also have Christian roots in one tradition or another. And in Christianity, there's a sense of, we speak of the Holy Spirit as a kind of energy. And our teacher has had a lot of friendships with Christian mystics. And he has described that perhaps the closest we have in Buddhism to the energy of the Holy Spirit is the energy of mindfulness. It's an energy of presence, because we're there present in our body. We're there present to the wonders of life. What is beautiful, what is sacred, what is miraculous. And when we get caught up in the daily grind, perhaps we're not enough connected with all the good elements that are there within us. Our body is a miracle. To be alive is a miracle. Anyone who studied evolution or biology, we know that to be alive is a miracle. Our body has ancestry going back literally millions and billions of years, and we are the fruit of that. So that is being aware of the wonder that we are. Sometimes we might be so concerned with simply our actions, and we may regret so much about ourselves. We may be disappointed in ourselves, and we forget that simply our being is a miracle. And we also wake up to the wonders around us. This is a beautiful part of the world. And do we have enough time to enjoy these wonders? Do we make time to be out in nature, to nourish ourselves with the Monroes and the box and the wind and the rain? Thay has said that in our era, in our generation, part of the malaise, part of the reason why we may be facing a lot of challenges is that somehow we have lost that connection with nature, and yet nature has everything we need to sort of refresh, inspire, and nourish ourselves. And in 2013 and 14, the last 2 years of his sort of active teaching, he kept on encouraging us, we need to do three things. Come back to ourselves, come back to our loved ones, so to make more time to be with those we love. And third, time to be with nature, to be with the natural world, to really allow nature to penetrate us, nourish us, and refresh our spirit. And so when we have the energy of mindfulness, it's like we're connecting to all these things. We're present for ourselves, which means we can be present for other people. And we are present, we kind of wake up and reconnect with the natural world. Whether just by being simply out and about, or even in the way that we eat, And in a moment, well, at some point, we're going to be able to have some eating meditation together. And there's many ways to connect with the natural world and also with poetry. I think there's been some wonderful Scottish poets, many of whom I love a lot. And in our training in Plum Village and in our practice centers, one of the ways that we stay connected throughout the day is we use little poems. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we have a little short poem to recite, to remember, to be mindful of that particular moment and the possibility it holds. And we have a poem for when we put on our robes, we have a poem for when we brush our teeth. We don't say it out loud, we recite it silently in our mind. And we have a poem for when we pour water. And the poem for when we wake up is... So these are ancient poems from our monastic tradition, and then Thay, our teacher, slightly updated and embellished them. For when we wake up, waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live each moment fully and to look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Waking up this morning, I smile. When I first entered Plum Village and we had to memorize all these poems, I was not able to wake up with a smile. Not least because we woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I think it's a wonderful training. Is it possible to wake up when we smile? And my spiritual mentor at the time, she said, this should be the first thing that comes into your head the moment you start to be awake. And it was a very fascinating experience. So I was training myself for weeks. Can this be the first thing I think of? Waking up this morning, I smile. That has to be the first thing. And then I realized I mustn't just say it, you know, I have to do it. So, and I discovered even my eyes didn't want to smile. And the last line of the poem is, and I vow to look at all beings with compassion. And at a certain point, I got the insight, oh, I have to look at myself with compassion too when I wake up, and I don't want to wake up this early. So there's a lot hidden in these poems. It's a deep practice to kind of make them a reality. And the one for water, I used to use it at work. Before I ordained, I worked in a newsroom for the BBC. So it was quite a busy place. But we had a water cooler, and I hope many of you have water coolers in wherever you work, or at least a tap for drinking water. I hear the drinking water is very good here. Yeah, okay. You don't need a water cooler, you just need a tap. And the poem for water is, water comes from high mountain sources. Water runs deep in the earth. Miraculously, water comes to us and sustains all life. My gratitude is filled to the brim. So I used to recite this on the sixth floor of an office block, and I felt so connected to the natural world, because it's true, this water has come from high in the mountains, it has come from deep in the earth. And for me, that is what mindfulness is about. It's about connecting to the vast reality of life and nourishing myself with that awareness. And I found that these poems, in particular moments of the day, are a really helpful and wonderful way to do that. And as monastics with all kinds of different heritage and roots, our teacher would always encourage us to understand our other spiritual roots. And I got very fascinated by Celtic Christianity. And I don't know if anyone here knows, but there's a wonderful tradition of poems also in the Celtic Christian tradition. And I was, well, mindfully leaping with joy when I discovered a wonderful collection that was actually made here in Scotland by someone called Alexander Carmichael. So some of you are smiling and nodding. So it's called the Carmina Gadelica. I'm probably saying that wrong. So it's a collection of ancient poems. So they were oral poems that used to be shared in the Highlands, and also he went out to the far Outer Hebrides and different islands. And he collected these poems that were recited in Gaelic, and then he made some English translations of them. So I'm going to read you one or two. So I really love the morning one. So they have poems for doing everything. There were lots of poems about the fire, kindling the fire, s'moring the fire, whatever that is, for milking the cows, you know, introducing yourself to the cow while you milk the cow, then when you leave with the milk. So lots and lots of poems to really be present and really touch the ultimate with that presence and awareness. So here's the poem for the morning. Oh God, who broughtest me from the rest of last night unto the joyous light of this day, be thou bringing me from the new light of this day unto the guiding light of eternity. Oh, from the new light of this day unto the guiding light of eternity. So they would say that, and apparently they used to sort of mumble it in Gaelic, mumble it under their breath as soon as they woke up. So I'm aware that I have come from the rest of last night and will be guided, so by the energy of the Holy Spirit, for us that's the energy of awareness, into the guiding light of eternity. So for us we would call that the ultimate dimension. And there's another beautiful one. So I shared that mindfulness is to be connected to our body, to really be in the present moment. And when we're with our senses, we know that we're in the present moment. When we're there with the water as we drink it, we are there in that moment. We are alive, we're fully alive, and we're living our life deeply. When we're there with a tangerine or with our loved one in front of us, with our sight, with our sound. So we know we're in the present moment when we're with our senses, and it's our thinking that's taking us out of the present moment. So here's another one. It's called Prayer at Rising. So it's another early morning poem. And in many spiritual traditions, we say that the morning is a very important time. It's the time of renewal, of freshness, of peace. Bless to me, O God, each thing mine eye sees. Bless to me, O God, each sound my ear hears. Bless to me, O God, each odor that goes to my nostrils, each taste that goes to my lips, each note that goes to my song, each ray that guides my way, each thing that I pursue, each lure that tempts my will, the zeal that seeks my living soul, the zeal that seeks my heart. So I find that very beautiful. In the monastic tradition, we also speak about mindfulness as guarding the senses. So we know what we take in through our eyes, through our mouth, through our ears. What will nourish us? What will be inspiring for us? It speaks about lure. In Buddhism, sometimes you might hear the word craving. So what desires are being triggered by what I'm looking at? And the final line there, it speaks about zeal. And another kind of more modern word of saying that could be like intention or aspiration. And so to live mindfully is not just to be aware of what's going on, but it's to have a specific intention around what we are exposing ourselves to and what we're exposing our senses to. What are we taking in terms of music, TV, food, drink? Is it nourishing us? Is it inspiring us? Is it helping us live the kind of life we would like to live? So we also, in our tradition, we speak of mindfulness in terms of it can't be separated from a kind of ethical path. It should naturally transform our life to really live the kind of life we would like to live. And when we have this kind of awareness, we have more freedom to choose. If we know and if we're aware of what we're about to do, we can have a second thought. We can say, maybe no. We can turn the TV off, or we can turn off the music. We can switch off the mobile phone so we can be more present for our loved ones. There's a lot we can do when we have this awareness to really live the kind of life we would like to live and allow ourselves, afford ourselves some freedom in terms of kind of what's coming in. I spoke a lot about the senses and the taste that goes to my lips.